Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and reading the first four verses. Listen to God's word. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. This Sunday, we conclude our series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer as it is recorded in Luke's Gospel. You'll recall from previous weeks that the prayers are essentially identical, although Luke employs slightly different language. But in terms of their content, they are the same, although Luke's is also a bit abbreviated compared to Matthew's. Remember, too, that the intent of this prayer is to provide us, the followers of Christ then and now, a model for our daily prayers. Remember, it's not something just to be memorized and repeated rotely. Instead, it is intended to be a prayer that teaches us to pray. It helps us to focus on the things that are really important, the things that we should pray about. So we pray, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." Our longing in prayer is for God to be honored completely in all the earth. We yearn for that to be realized. God is not honored in all the earth now. God is regularly profaned. But we yearn to see a change in that. And not only in the world, but in our lives too. So that all that we do and say and think and have, all of that will bring honor to God. It's essentially what the first question in the Catechism asks: what is the chief end of man? What is the purpose of human life? It is to glorify God. It is to honor God. Similarly to our yearning is our focus, and that is that God would cause the kingdom to finally dawn in human history. I don't know about you, but I can hardly wait for the day when the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, who will reign forever and ever. We are ready for God's reign to begin right now. And as a result then, practically we seek little by little and day by day, we seek to make the entirety of our lives subject to God's dominion. But our concerns are not only God's honor and God's kingdom. Those are the first concerns that Jesus mentions, but he also teaches us to pray for our basic needs. And that's the focus of this morning's sermon. John Calvin made a very interesting observation about the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer. He observed that they are basically identical in their structure. That is, the first four commandments and the first two petitions focus on God, and the remainder of the commandments and petitions focus on human relationships and human needs. And I think he was right about that. The Lord's Prayer doesn't multiply words. It gets right down to brass tacks. It gets down to what is really important, to what really matters. First, God's honor, God's kingdom. But secondly, food, forgiveness, and deliverance. Those are also essential. Now, Jesus said once that human beings cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and that's true. But it's also the case that we cannot live without food, without bread. We need to eat to live. We are creatures. Jesus in the prayer emphasizes enough food for one day, and that's probably because most of the people who followed him were impoverished. They were probably day laborers. They earned enough at the end of the day when they were paid to purchase food to last them for one day. And so he says, give us enough bread for each day. They really led a hand-to-mouth existence. I think that's probably hard for us to identify with, isn't it? We live in a land of such plenty and such abundance. When I pray this prayer, I often think to myself that what I really should pray is, Lord, don't give me so much daily bread. I'm getting a little too much of it. But still, that petition for bread reminds us of a fundamental truth, basic truth, and that is that our continued existence each and every day is predicated upon God's favor, God's providence. We are fundamentally dependent upon God's provision. We may be far removed from the poverty of the first century, but in essence, our lives are dependent upon God. So when we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, or enough bread for each day, we are asking essentially for God to provide what we need to stay alive. For us, it might be the right medical care or medications or enough financial resources, clarity of mind. The list might go on and on, but that's what we're asking for. Provide what I need to stay alive. The next petition is for forgiveness. Our fallen nature, our sins, cry out to God for forgiveness. The Bible teaches that we were made in God's image, but we are fallen from that innocent state. And as a result of that, we have become marred and twisted in our persons. And we need help. We need forgiveness for our sins. In fact, it's really just as basic as our need for bread. Think about this. Without forgiveness, we are destined to spend eternity separated from God. And that is a horrible prospect. It is, in fact, a living and endless hell, if you will. But there's some good news here. That's our plight, that's our condition, but God loves to forgive. That's God's nature. The Old Testament is filled with examples of God forgiving sins. And in fact, if you think about the meta story, the overarching story of the Old Testament, it is a story of forgiveness and restoration. Remember, there is this cycle that repeats itself over and over again. The children of Israel would forsake the Lord and worship other gods. He would chasten them by the oppression of their surrounding nations. They would cry out and repent, and God would be merciful and forgive them and restore them. Unfortunately, of course, the cycle repeated over and over again. But it shows that God's nature is unchanging. God's nature is to forgive us. Do you remember the story of Moses when he asked to be able to see God, and God hid him in a cleft of a rock and passed by him? And as God passed by Moses, this is what God proclaimed: the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's God's nature. God is love, the New Testament says. Or as John puts it, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we pray that simple prayer, forgive us our sins, we can be assured we have a rock solid promise that is rooted in God's nature, that God will forgive us. Now, unfortunately, we are not as inclined to forgive others as God is inclined to forgive us. If you've ever really been wronged by someone, you know that it is hard to forgive. We tend to hold on to those things, to hold on to grudges. We feed the embers of past injuries until they burst into a raging flame of bitterness and sometimes even revenge. We tend to have too high an opinion of ourselves and too low an opinion of our neighbors. But Jesus in the prayer tells us that we must forgive others even as we have been forgiven by God. Now, it's important to note that our forgiveness of others is not the basis of our forgiveness. That is solely founded in Christ's work on Calvary's cross. It's not the basis of our forgiveness, but it is the fruit of our forgiveness by God. That is, God's forgiveness softens our hearts so that we're more able to forgive other people. So I think if you're struggling to forgive someone, the best place to start is to get a hold of the good news of the gospel, that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Now, the final petition of the prayer addresses another basic human need, and that is the need for deliverance. This is one that might not come to mind at first. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Do not bring us to the time of trial." The Bible seems to envision a future in which God unleashes terrible judgments upon the earth before the end of the age. And Jesus describes this in Matthew 24. He says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." That is a future reality. Jesus teaches us then to pray that we be spared living through those cataclysmic events that are to come. But I think it's also appropriate to perhaps expand this petition to include more general trials and tribulations, not just those end time things. The prayer then asks God to spare us from troubles in this life. We might dynamically render the petition this way: "Oh Lord, don't bring terrible trials into my life." That's something that we long for as well. Brothers and sisters, these are our basic needs: the need for sufficient resources to sustain our lives. And God is not only able, but willing to supply all of our needs in Christ Jesus. Similarly, we really need forgiveness for our sins, and thankfully God loves to forgive. It is God's nature to forgive us. He is slow to anger, filled with steadfast love and faithfulness. But we also need to forgive other people who are in our debt, if you will, people who have wronged us, people who have slighted us, people who have wounded or injured us. We have been forgiven by God, and we too must forgive. And we need deliverance too, deliverance from trials and tribulations of daily living and from God's judgments at the end of the age. And again, God is able to help us, to spare us, or at the very least to support us when we're going through hard times. In closing, I would encourage you to pray the Lord's Prayer with understanding, but also with fervor, and to pray it many times during the day. You might pray one petition and meditate on that briefly. It's what it really means, what we're really asking for. I think that this prayer is particularly appropriate for the times that we are living through now. Not only the pandemic, but the social and political unrest and terrible polarization that is marring our society. This is the prayer to pray each day for our nation. What is most important, of course, is for God to be honored completely by the way that we live, by what we say and do and think and have. The other most important thing is for God's dominion to be exercised over all the earth. And so we seek for our entire existence, the totality of our persons, to be so under that heavenly dominion that God's will is done in the soil of our earthly lives. That is our longing too. But God knows our basic needs as well. And God wants to provide those too, the need for sustenance, for forgiveness, the grace to forgive others, and freedom, deliverance from trials and tribulations. We should earnestly pray these things each and every day. So each time you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trouble. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. In response to the reading and proclamation of God's word, I invite you to stand with me and join heart and voice in affirming the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us say what we believe.